Hello. You are listening to KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio, and Local Motion, our weekly public affairs show. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Here on this edition of Local Motion, we'll go to Montrose to visit the Warriors Rest, a home for veterans that are down on their luck. And we'll take a broader look at the organizations, charities, and nonprofits that are trying to serve the growing homeless population in Montrose. To set the stage here on Local Motion, we'll hear the report from KVNF News when we first went to Warriors Rest on August 28th.
Advocates and service providers for veterans and the homeless are facing three critical realities in Montrose. First, on August 16th, Christ's Kitchen served its last meal. The charity kitchen began serving hot lunches 15 years ago. They served low-income residents, homeless people, veterans, senior citizens, and those just looking to socialize. The owners of the kitchen's building did not renew their lease, and the kitchen had to close. Second, on August 7th, the Montrose Board of Trustees voted to deny the rezoning application for a property at 931 North Park Avenue in Montrose. Members of Lighthouse Ministry and Shepherd's Hand had requested the rezoning with the intention of building a new shelter for the homeless. After trustees unanimously denied the motion, the search for an in-town homeless shelter will continue. And third, unless the Warriors Rest raises $30,000 by the end of this month, the group home for veterans will have to close its doors. Warriors Rest, a vintage home at 137 North Cascade in Montrose, has provided beds and a family atmosphere for veterans for the last several years. There are 10 beds for veterans who are down on their luck and are looking to get their lives back on track. Warriors Rest provides everything from regular meals to social events for the veterans. The only requirements for residency are that the veteran be sober and working to better his life. But now the homeowner wishes to sell the building and has given Warriors Rest till the end of August to come up with a $30,000 down payment to purchase the building. KVNF News spoke with Warriors Rest Director Eric Goff to get the details.
Well, the situation with that is the owner of the house has decided that he needs to sell, and he needs to sell now. We've been renting from him for 8 years, 9 years, whatever it is. And the last 7 years, we've paid all our bills on time. We have a pay it forward program, so we're covered there. The way the pay it forward program works, of course, is the guys that get been here for a while, they get a job, they get on their feet, they have program fees. Well, their program fees help us to take care of that new guy that just walked in the house that has nothing. So yeah, we've had a problem. We have to raise $30,000 by the 31st of August this year.
For more information, go to thewarriorsrest.org or the Warriors Rest Facebook page.
In case you're just joining us, this is Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Eric Gould with KVNF News. We just heard Eric Goff talking about the Warriors Rest in Montrose. We'll get back to North Cascade Avenue a little later in the show. Next, we're going to hear from the Lighthouse Ministries. As we heard from the story at the top of the show, Lighthouse Ministries and Shepherd's Hand failed in their efforts to get a building rezoned for a homeless shelter in Montrose. KVNF News spoke with Director of Lighthouse Ministries, Chris Houck, to get some background and perspective on the issue.
For almost a decade, there have been ministries in Montrose for homeless people and people coming out of jail, Montrose Jail Ministries and the Shepherd's Hand. And in 2016, around November, the city told a bunch of homeless people who were camped near the Uncompahgre River on a piece of property that was being developed as a riverside recreational industrial complex that is now occupied by Mayfly, which is Ross Reels and other sporting equipment. And it's a large piece of property along the river. And the homeless camp that was there was not viewed as a plus for prospective tenants. So they rousted the people out of there. We had supplied them with a porta potty, but that's about all the infrastructure they had. There were tents and a couple campers. And we were able to transport them down to Delta to the Abraham Connection, which at the time had been in operation for about 7 years as a winter homeless shelter. And about 2 years before we asked them to help us, they had built a new facility down there, a nearly $1 million facility, I think it is. It's very nice. And so I guess this was about October or so when we started during that. November, the board of the Delta facility realized that the Montrose homeless were displacing some Delta homeless. And so they said, we're sorry, we can no longer accommodate people that you haul down here from Montrose. It's a Montrose problem. We've got a Delta problem, too. And we're dealing with it. Kind of desperate, we out of the blue, John Harold, the Olathe corn farmer, offered us the use of his H-2A agricultural worker dorm, where he houses Mexican farm workers that he brings up for the harvest in the summer months. And the dorm was idle during winter. So for the next 2 winters, we were able to use from November through May that dorm to house as many as 24. Actually, the capacity there is 48, but I think the most we ever had there was about 30. And we bused them down to from assembly points in Montrose. About 2 years ago, the city of Montrose found Brown Center, a facility that they own, and operated it for juvenile delinquents, I think, primarily. It's out by the wastewater and dog pound to the north of Montrose. They found that vacant because of various reasons, and they put out a request for proposals. And ultimately, they decided to lease it to John Harold and the Tuxedo Corn Company with a provision that he could sublease it to Lighthouse.
That was Chris Houck, talking about how the one current homeless shelter in Montrose, the so-called Brown House, came into being. It's a seasonal home, housing migrant workers during the harvest and homeless people during the winter.
So for the past 2 winters, we've operated that during those months from November through May, and we served over 100 homeless people and over 3,000 bed nights, and served over 4,000 hot meals in the last winter. So this is our first winter in there. The lease is only for 3 years, so we've got two more winters, tenancy out there as subtenants of Tuxedo Corn Company. We're looking for a longer-term solution and hopefully to expand to other services for people in need of them, low-income people and people with mental health and other health challenges, as well as homeless people.
Here on Local Motion, we've been talking with Chris Houck from Lighthouse Ministries in Montrose, getting a little bit of a history lesson about the growing homeless population. Since the Brown House offers only seasonal shelter for the homeless, it was especially painful for Houck and the ministries when the Montrose Town Council denied a zoning request that would have permitted a permanent house for the homeless. According to the Montrose Daily Press, at their meeting on August 6th, the Montrose City Council voted unanimously to deny the rezoning application for 931 North Park Avenue, upholding the recommendation from the Montrose Planning Commission. If approved, the proposal would have rezoned the building from light industrial to commercial in order to allow for a new homeless shelter in the neighborhood. Members of Montrose Lighthouse and the founder of Shepherd's Hand were among those advancing the rezone application in hopes of housing a dormitory there, along with providing resources for homeless and low-income people at the building. The proposal brought pushback from neighbors. Here's how Houck described it to KVNF News.
We put in a bid on a building here. In fact, it was an escrow. Tried to get the zoning changed from I-1 to B-3, which would have allowed us to have people there overnight. On Tuesday of this week, the city council turned us down unanimously. Planning Commission decision that was 5-1 against us that was completely undocumented. The minutes of the Planning Commission had not been prepared for the council to consider, so they had no evidence whatsoever before them when they voted us out. I'm told that typically the applicant for a zoning change gets an opportunity to speak and answer questions, but the city attorney, the assistant city attorney that was advising them there, forbade them from taking any evidence from us at all. So we've got a bad decision from the Planning Commission. We think it was a bad decision, but the minutes aren't available. We just know what the vote was. And we've got a decision endorsing whatever the Planning Commission had decided, and no one knows because the minutes haven't yet been prepared, unanimously against us by the City Council. It looked pretty well orchestrated. And the city attorney advised them they had two possible options. They could accept the Planning Commission, or they could set a hearing to take evidence. And obviously they didn't intend to do it at that hearing on Tuesday because they had allotted 20 minutes for the decision on the zoning change.
Here on Local Motion, we're taking a look at some of the charities and nonprofits in Montrose that are trying to serve the homeless and veteran population. Next, KVNF News took a step back and asked Chris Houck, how bad is the homeless problem in Montrose?
2 years ago, Jim Renfro, one of our directors and the founder of Montrose Jail Ministries as well, went out and surveyed people under bridges and so forth, and he got well over 100. The Montrose School District, my recollection is a little foggy on this, but they counted over 200 students that were homeless. We had 100 different individuals, 103 different individuals this last winter. So I'm guessing there's way more than 400 or 500 homeless in Montrose. And one problem with the school count is that they establish the population by either self-reporting or questionnaires. And parents who are living in a car with their kids, or probably a single parent more than likely, are afraid that if they report that they're living in a car with their kids, that the Child Protective Services will break up the family. So the 200 or so that the school district reported are more likely couch surfers, you know, sleeping in friends' homes and that sort of thing. Pretty tough situation, although compared to Grand Junction or gosh, San Francisco or Los Angeles, it's a drop in the bucket. But, you know, we're not a very big town here, and that kind of a number is big. And we've also found that the people that are begging at Walmart and City Market and so forth, by and large, are not people that we serve. Generally, they're people who are just transient through Montrose, headed someplace else. And of the people we serve, of the 100 that I mentioned, 103, at least half of them are situational homeless, meaning that it's not their fault. They didn't want to be homeless. They've lost a job. They've had a medical emergency. The family has broken up. Somebody's died. You know, who knows? They're trying to get out of it, get out of homelessness. But it's very difficult here because we're worse than Colorado Springs, I think, in terms of housing. They just announced the average one-bedroom apartment rental in Colorado Springs is $2,000. And if you use the budgetary allocation of how much spend on housing, which is one-third of your income, you've got to have a job that pays well over $20 an hour in order to afford that Colorado Springs $2,000 apartment. And we've tried to place people in apartments here in Montrose, and they're just not available, I mean, at any price.
Before we finished our talk with Chris Houck from Lighthouse Ministries, we asked him to sum up the recent adversities facing those trying to serve the homeless in Montrose.
We've also probably read that Christ Kitchen is out of business on the 16th of August. And that's a soup kitchen that's been furnishing hot meals at noontime during the week. And that Warriors Rest, the home for homeless veterans, has been ordered out of its building if they can't raise $30,000 to buy it. So all this happens this week. It's not a real good day for people on the street.
Thanks for joining us here on KVNF and Local Motion, our weekly public affairs show. Now we're going to go back to Warriors Rest in Montrose. KVNF News met with the directors of the project on a sunny day, and we sat on the porch of the house for our interview.
Hi, my name is Joe Miller. I'm the operations director of the Warriors Rest.
My name is Eric Goff. I'm the executive director of the Warriors Rest. We're at 137 North Cascade in Montrose, Colorado, 81401. And the status of the house, well, let's give a little background here. We started the house in 2011, really, and then we changed the name a little bit because it didn't reflect what we wanted to the public. We wanted it to be more about veterans, and so once we changed the name, we are a 501c3 nonprofit, and what we do here is we provide housing for homeless heroes. Most of the veterans that live here were on the street before they got here, and we just got to a place, Joe and I did, where we just wanted to be helpful to those guys, and the only way to do that was open a house, so here we are.
Joe, what are some of the services that are provided here for the veterans?
Well, our basic services, we provide them a family. I mean, we help them. A lot of them have problems. They need jobs. They need this. They need that. And we help them get those things. We had a veteran here who had come in. He'd been on the street, been living in his car for 2 years. Okay. And he came here, finally was tired of living in his car. His cat had passed, and he wanted a place. We put him up. He was here for 2 years. He got mental health. He got a job. The guy's been on his own now for 4 years and doing good. I've had others that come here with even worse problems. One guy, he did 10 years in the military, but he wasn't a citizen. He was from Canada, and we don't recognize. They have a program where you can become a citizen of the United States if you join the military, except for Canada, because of the deserters back in the Vietnam War. And I didn't know how to get citizenship. I've been a citizen all my life. I don't know how you fix that problem. But I knew people that knew people, and the guy's 6 months, and he's on his own. You know, and a lot of people look at him, they're just drug addicts. You know, get a job, you stupid person. Getting a job when you've been on the road or been on the street for, you know, a year or whatever, you have no job history to refer to. They want to know now what you did last month. They don't want you. It takes time.
This particular guy has had several strokes, and yeah, That's what made him homeless.
What is the traffic? How many homeless veterans do you imagine you see come through here?
I'm going to say I've had 38 veterans come through. Some of them successfully, some of them not. We don't put up with, if you're not going to move forward, basically, you need to go. We're a clean and sober house, and we're about helping people recover. We're not about aiding people in continuing their bad behavior that made them homeless. I mean, sometimes it's just bad decisions. Sometimes it's
Other things.
You know, yeah.
Joe actually got here because he's a truck driver and he got diabetes and he couldn't drive truck anymore.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so he came walking up the sidewalk and asked me if I had a room. This was just when we started, and I said, yep. And he was here for about a month and a half, 2 months, and he says, I can see you need help.
You know, that keeps the place calm.
He's really good at it.
And, but, you know, you see these guys that come in like that, and they go out, and you know they're doing good. Some of them, they're not doing as good as others, but they're still out there, and they're doing good. And it's worth that.
Are the resources there for the veterans? Are they getting mental health care? Are they getting food to eat? Are they in work programs? How is that going?
The work program's not so much, but as far as the mental health goes, they that they can get, they get that if they need it. There's other counseling type things that they can get if they need it.
We send them through the VA if they're a veteran, and we can get them into the VA, get them the help that they need there. So we use the sources in the community. We just help push them out the door to go do this.
Like I said, like a our services are that of a basic family unit. We provide the same services your family would provide. You know, a good friend might help you with, you know, hey, you need to go do this, dude. You know, just stuff like that, not anything, you know, specifically. I have no training. I was a truck driver, you know.
But the other part of that, too, is that our life experiences. I'm 70 years old. Joe's 62 almost. We've had some life experiences where we realize where our mistakes were and what the proper way to go about things are. That makes a big difference. The camaraderie of the other men in the house. You know, just to be able to sit and talk about our times in the military. You know, it always raises our spirits somewhat. And then, yeah, there was bad times and there was a lot of good times. You know, personally, I spent 4 years in the Air Force, the best thing I ever did, you know, was join the Air Force. But being able to sit and talk with the guys about problems, you know, I don't feel good today, things are going around on in my head, and I trust this guy sitting next to me not to beat me up for whatever reason. And in that way, the camaraderie is a great tool for the house.
Camaraderie also provides, and the house provides hope. A lot of these veterans, they get out there, they've been on the street. I've had one guy that was here for he'd been on the street for 5 years. He'd been living in a tent. He come in the house, I gave him a room. I found him sleeping out on the back porch. He couldn't sleep in the house. And I told him, well, you can't be here if you're not going to sleep in the house. And he started sleeping in the house. He has his own place now. He's doing good. But he could not sleep in a house. That stays pretty full, yes.
Right.
We'll lose a guy here and there, but within a couple of weeks, and sometimes even less, we've got a new one. I used to keep a list, but I don't lose them fast enough to really, you know, by the time I can help this guy, sometimes he's gone.
And for our final segment here on Local Motion, Joe Miller and Eric Goff offer their reasons why they think it's so important to keep Warriors Rest open.
There's a lot of veterans on the street, and there's a lot of programs that provide veterans with money and help and everything else. None of them provide a house. None of them, when you're this far down, you're so far down, you're on the street, you see them out there begging, but nobody provides them with a home. Nobody provides them with the structure they need to move forward. We provide that.
If you don't have an address, you can't get a job.
Yeah, and we provide that, the address. But we also, I mean, we provide things just as simple as, hey, bud, you need to find a job, you know, and tell them some places to go and, you know, just stuff like that. We're taking veterans off the street and putting them back in life. Giving a veteran $500 doesn't do that. Like I said, 38 veterans came through here for $28,000. That's what we spent to run this place, $28,000. You got them in California, $100,000 a person, and they can't keep them off the street.
Every dime that comes to the house goes to helping the veterans. It goes to providing the food and shelter that they need. That's what we do here. We're volunteers.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I can tell you about the house, we're the only ones on the Western Slope doing this. I mean, there's other places providing housing for veterans with government assistance and everything. We're not doing that.
Yeah, the Pay It Forward program here is the best program that I've come up with. We're not...
Not a handout, we're a hand up.
And we're not capable of getting federal benefits here because of the condition of the house. In order to get federal benefits for a veteran, he has to have his own kitchen, his own bathroom, and his own bedroom.
Oh, wow.
And so a group home like this can't get any federal benefits.
Boy.
from what I understand.
Well, they're into housing the veterans, but they're not into transitional housing. They could
right.
care less. You know, we're taking them here. Well, now they're ready for a house. Go ahead and put them up. All they want to do is put them up.
Well, and you go to that point, well, there's HUD-VASH vouchers, which are for veterans, but you still got to get the veteran capable of at least taking care of himself and fitting back into society enough to where he can pay his own way.
Sometimes you just need a little bit of structure to help with that.
What we do is we try and figure out what it is precisely that's causing them to be in the position that they're in, and that's where we focus on. And we work with individuals. Okay, this person may have this problem, that one has that problem, whatever. We focus on their problem. It's their desire, their program, that we're going to help them and assist them down the proper path.
You've been listening to Local Motion here on KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio. In this edition of the show, we've gone to Warriors Rest in Montrose. And we've spoken with the director of Lighthouse Ministries in Montrose in a discussion about the growing homeless population. Here's a couple of follow-up notes here in conclusion. The Montrose Daily Press is reporting that although Christ's Kitchen must suspend operations, the United Methodist Church will continue serving a Sunday evening meal. Shepherd's Hand also provides commodity boxes to people who can prepare their own meals throughout the week. And the Sharing Ministries Food Bank disperses food to income-eligible people. Finally, here on Local Motion, as of this taping, September 3rd, Warriors Rest had not raised the necessary $30,000 to stay open. Eric Goff reported that they are very close to that goal, however, and have been granted an extension period to continue to try to raise the money. And that was your Local Motion here on KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.